time now for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Just a cursory view of our culture is all it takes to show that we really are in a sea of chaos. Now, the only answer can be found in the solid, strong word of truth, the Word of God. Hello, and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, our pastor here at United Reformed Church in Linden. Let's head now to the Word of God that we might find comfort and strength and solace in time of need. Once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Welcome to Abounding Grace, a ministry of the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We're thankful that you've joined us again for this edition of Abounding Grace. Today I begin by having you consider something that the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth." That is a jolting verse, because essentially what Paul was saying there is that there's this time coming when people will not want to be pressed doctrinally. They will not want to hear about the warnings in the Bible. They will not want to hear about sin or condemnation or hell. That, of course, would be the first thing to go. And painfully, I say it seems as if we've come to this time that the Apostle Paul spoke of, where men want to have their ears tickled. They want to hear only that which is pleasant to the ears and nothing that is possibly offensive. For the reason? Well, it is still the same, lest we are actually, they would say, ineffective in reaching the lost. That, of course, is the predominant mentality today, and we're going to look into that today on Abounding Grace and ask the question, what has this sort of approach to ministry produced? Well, it really has produced a generation of evangelical Christians who, just like the people of Israel's day, are saying to everyone, "Peace, peace." Who really want a theology consistent with prosperity gospel that somehow correlates to what we call the American dream. And so much of the church today has been reoriented to make the gospel non-offensive. And that has produced, of course, all sorts of methods and all sorts of new ways to somehow reach the masses. But the question this morning that we start with is, and we considered yesterday, is, does God approve of this? We were fascinated yesterday with the fact that the Apostle Paul faced the very same problem at the church in Corinth. He was faced with the fact that the people in Corinth wanted to implement and wanted to use the wisdom and the rhetoric and all of the talents of the world's of the world of that day to reach the lost. And we could see how much wisdom was out there that Paul would have had access to. Just read the ancient philosophers, we said, all of them with all their methods and ideas and ways of obtaining wisdom. This is what the entire ancient world went after. But Paul comes along and he says to the people in Corinth, "I purposely chose not to use anything that looks like the world or has its wisdom in mind, because God has purposely chosen that which is foolishness to the world to win souls." Why? So that at the end of the day, nobody would be able to take glory for it. But through these foolish means that God has chosen, he would receive the glory. And then we stumbled upon this beautiful verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. "It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." What was God telling us? Well, God is telling us very clearly here that grace has its own method. There is a way, there's a means that God delights in and chooses to save souls. And that is why it is foolishness to the world. And yet, this foolishness to the world is the wisdom of God to save. How? Through the hearing of the message preached. And so as we looked at yesterday, we said that the first thing we have to say is that if we really want to have people worship God the way that he calls them to and to glorify him, and we really want to see the salvation of souls genuinely, not with gimmicks and not with entertainments, not with the ideas of men, then we have to recognize, friends, that God has given us a key ingredient to facilitate and work salvation, and that is through preaching. I begin today by looking a little more at the background of what has led to the current viewpoint and the current approach to ministry that is just so common in the church today. A few years back, there was a fascinating piece in the Leadership Journal, and the writer there said this: "For believers, good preaching begins in the Bible and builds a bridge to the real world," which he said, I think, is true for the believer because they trust the Bible. "Often for seekers, however," he says, "I find the reverse works. I begin in the real world, connecting with their needs, and show them that I understand where they've been and where they are. Based on that, I show the relevance of Scripture. I build a bridge from the real world into the world of Scripture." Now, that's a subtle nuance, but huge in our approach to ministry and huge in our approach to worship. You know, the real question that arises after you hear something like that is, how do we even know what the real world is apart from the descriptions given to us in the Bible? And the question that's before us is this: hasn't God already built a bridge from the word to the hearer by sending preachers who announce his judgment and his pardon? That was the emphasis that Dr. Michael Horton made in his book, A Better Way. Do you see what we're wrestling with? In the name of relevance, we've moved away from the Bible as the starting point and tried to start with the culture with the goal and the hope that we will make God relevant to the masses. But the point is, friends, is that God has already made his message relevant to the culture. His word is already culturized, if you will, for us. His word speaks to sinners right where they are. But when we leave that starting point and begin to think about methods and ways of making the Bible relevant, the first thing that will occur is an implementation of something that is not designed by God in his word. And really, if the method that the message that God has ordained and the methods that he has chosen to do it is made something other than what he has designed, are we really helping souls right where they are? Well, the answer to that, of course, is clear. Just like the people of Israel's day were making golden calves, everyone trying to do what is right in his own eyes. And worst of all, the church has lost confidence and thrown out the means that God has promised to bless. So we ask the question this morning, just what has God made relevant? And with that question, we come to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There is a method that God delights in and gives saving grace to sinners' hearts. What is that? The foolishness of the message preached. Why? Because it's foolishness to the world. God delights, friends, in taking that which is foolish and using that to save souls. Why? Well, so at the end of the day, all the glory would be to him alone. Now, this will challenge a lot of what's happening today when an entire service is geared towards entertainment, is geared toward tickling the ears of the people, and instead of the authoritative proclamation of salvation and pardon, people instead are given short, moralistic lessons. "Preach the word," said Paul to Timothy, "in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and patience." Now, let's go back a minute. Why today don't men want to be preached to? Well, I guess we could say that people today want to feel that the pastor should be their friend. He should be their moral enthusiast, sort of like a coach on a team, helping them along the way. And so in fear, in a culture that says, "Don't offend me," pastors have this great pressure upon them. And they've been searching for different methods and different ways simply to keep a hold on people and keep them happy in a culture that says don't offend. And so what has happened? Well, you have all these ladders of method constantly being introduced with the goal of making God relevant to the people. And in such an approach, a terrible evil has occurred. God has been marginalized to the masses. He really is of no real importance anymore. God is in his holy temple. Let all the world keep silent before him. It really has little impact. Listen to Romans 10, verse 5. I want to spend a minute here. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. And here God is saying, look, if you really want to think that salvation is by works, then here's your standard. Keep the law perfectly and you shall have it. That, he says, is the righteousness of the law. But then he says this, but the righteousness of faith speaks this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will ascend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does he say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And so what is his point here? A man who is full of works righteousness says, how can I ascend into heaven and bring Christ down to me? Do you hear it? What methods can I use and develop to bring Christ down to my own experiences, where I am in life? How can I bring Christ down to the level of the masses? But do we hear what he's saying to us? Don't do that. That's based on a works. You don't have the ability. Your methods don't have the ability to bring him down or to raise him up to your own felt needs. The righteousness that is of faith says, the word is near me, in my mouth when I confess it, and in my heart when I recognize, O Lord, that all of this comes through me through the preaching, right? That's what he's focused here. The word is near you. And then he goes on to say, how will they hear without in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe of him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How so? The word of God preached. That's what Paul's fighting for. God delights to save souls this way. And so we can have all these new ideas. We can have all these days of purpose. We can implement new evangelism strategies. We can go to conference after conference to learn how to make the gospel relevant to the culture. But let me ask you, friends, at the end of the day, isn't it a bit arrogant, man-centered, and sinful when God has said, here's what I want you to use to save souls? Preach the word in season, out of season. Why? Because God is saving souls through it. Man is always creating ladders of pulling God down from heaven to meet us in our own experiences. But the word of faith says, here's what God has done. Here's what he's chosen to save souls. The preaching of the cross, the preaching of Christ and him crucified. What is exciting to you? What the world offers in music, drama, and dance? We get that stuff all the time. What is truly exciting is when we are able to enter the house of the Lord and hear a man stand up, sent from him, proclaiming the good news of the gospel. To see the baptismal font that says, the promise is to you and to your children, and to partake of the Lord's table, which says, taste and see that the Lord is good. May these things excite us, friends, for in them God has chosen to work. God has told us that through his means he will work to bless and to save souls. See you tomorrow.
Well, we need to close out our broadcast here, but we do look forward to joining you next time we get together as we continue our look at God's Word, that we might grow in Christ and be mutually encouraged. This has been Abounding Grace, the ministry extension of United Reformed Church of Linden, with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Copies of what you hear on Abounding Grace are available. You need only call or write to us for the details. Our phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. And as you contact us, remember, we're available on this radio station in part through your partnership with us. As you link arms with us financially and prayerfully, we're able to continue the ministry here on this radio station, encouraging you and others in Christ. Would you prayerfully consider how you might partner with us? We thank you in advance. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, Abounding Grace, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at the church, stop by our website, lindenurc.com. Again, lindenurc.com. If you're joining us for worship, we meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Directions are available at lindenurc.com or by calling 360-318-0429. We do thank you for joining us and trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.